welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest podcasts, news, everything is there. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. It's at Sean Green Show. Also, make sure you follow me on Facebook as well. Got a jam-packed show for you today. First, got to get everything straightened out. Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. He's here with us right now. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, dude. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So we got a couple of things I wanted to get to you about. First, PlayStation TV. I've seen this around. I've seen this being, you know, talked about in the papers, a couple of things online about PlayStation TV. A lot of people came to me and was like, hey, what is this PlayStation TV? I can't really tell them what PlayStation TV is. So I figure I'd get you on the line to explain to me what is PlayStation TV.
Well, what PlayStation TV, basically what it allows you to do is it allows you to play your PlayStation games wherever you are. It's basically, it's for $100. It's a small little device. It's smaller than a Vita. And what it can do is that wherever you are in your house, you can stream your games from your system to a TV somewhere else. This way you're not constantly playing with cables, constantly moving things around. You can also stream it directly, I think, onto your Vita. So it's really a convenience tool to allow you to move around your house and not have to worry about taking your system with you.
Okay, so this is similar to the kind of like that Google Chromecast that's out now. Like if you want to use like your Hulu or your Netflix and whatnot. Now with this being implemented. And with games being the way they are, especially with PS4 games, do you lose any quality in the games when you play remotely?
Well, no. Well, what happens, it basically all depends on your internet connection. If you're playing remotely, if you have a good enough internet connection, everything is very smooth. But if you have had internet problems in the past, if they have, you know, if there's a tendency to be hiccups, you're probably going to see that in your gameplay.
Okay.
So it's definitely something that it all comes down to your internet connection, because it's obviously piggybacking on your wireless. So if your internet's great and it can handle multiple devices and whatnot and can stream pretty decently, like to a laptop or anything when you watch, you know, Hulu and Netflix and all that other stuff, then you'll probably be fine with the PlayStation TV. But if your internet ever goes down or has, you know, have a lot of problems with it, you're going to see some problems.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people were asking me too about PlayStation TV, when you actually purchased this device, are you getting anything extra with it, or you're just getting that particular hardware and that's it?
You're just really getting the hardware. You know, it's $99. It's really a convenience tool. It's a thing that you know, I know people who have gotten it and they swear by it now because it just makes things so much easier for them, but they also make a lot more money than I do, and they live in really, really big houses. So, you know, for me, I mean, for most gamers, you have your one TV, you have your one gaming station, and it's really all you need. So, you know, it's really more of a convenience thing if you have multiple TVs and you don't want to, you know, you want to game in bed, for example, or something, and you don't want to disconnect your system if you have it in your system in the living room, you know.
All right, good to go. Let's move on to Bayonetta 2. This game had a lot of sexual innuendos. Do you think this is the reason why this game is so popular?
You know, I mean, it's two sides of the argument, right? It's that, you know, she's very comfortable in her sexuality. She's over the top. You know, she's a great example for women, and so everybody enjoys her because it's something that people can relate to, and she's a modern hero. She's a modern hero for a modern world. And then, of course, there's the other argument, which is just that we're all a bunch of perverts, and we just want to get it. You know, we all enjoy the idea that basically she's not wearing anything but her hair that's conveniently covering all of her parts that should be blurred out, you know. So I mean, there's two coins, the arguments to that theory. I personally think it's more that she's a modern hero. I think she's very comfortable in her sexuality. I think she kind of plays around with it. I think she uses it to empower herself. And I think that's really why she's so popular. I think she can appeal because of that to not just your stereotypical male audience, but I think that she can appeal to females, and I think to basically anybody out there who, especially, you know, who in a world where sometimes we're put down for trying to be ourselves or be comfortable in our own shoes, she's somebody who doesn't really care and does what she wants, and I think she's all the better for it. She's a great role model, and I'm thrilled that Nintendo actually took the chance to make her an exclusive and resurrect her and bring her away from Sony and Microsoft.
Now as a game, what were some of the improvements from Bayonetta 1 to Bayonetta 2? What were some of the things they improved on? What were some of the things they got wrong?
Well, I think the big thing is they added a whole new layer to combat. You know, you have all these new torture mechanics. You have the new Umbreon power, where she taps into everything that makes her a witch and falls on these truly massive creatures to do damage. So I think the combat is not only smoother, but I think it's also a little bit more, there's an extra layer there now that if you really take the time to figure it out, there's a lot more here than your typical hack and slash. In terms of what they got wrong, I personally didn't really enjoy the co-op mode. There's a cooperative mode where you and a friend can wager how many halos, which of course is kind of like, it's the currency of the game, almost like Sonic's rings. Okay. And you can wager and make bets on how much you want to. You'll take on a boss, and whoever does better against the boss will win the pot. It was a nice idea. I think it was interesting, but I don't think it was nearly as fleshed out as it needed to be. So I was a little disappointed in that. But I think overall, I think Bayonetta 2 was definitely a worthwhile experience, especially if you like the first.
Okay, we're talking with Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Let's move on to Borderlands, the prequel sequel. All right, this is a game that one of my good friends, he swears by Borderlands. I never really caught on to the whole Borderlands thing. Can you kind of fill me in on Borderlands, the prequel sequel?
Well, like you said, it takes place between the first game and the second game. And basically what's going on here is that many of the characters from the first game are going to come back. Many characters from the second game you're basically going to get their origin story, especially the main villain of the second game, Handsome Jack. And you're also going to you're going to introduce the four not new characters, but characters who had appeared in DLC or maybe had special missions dedicated to them in the first two games, and they're going to get fleshed out and be the four main characters, except for Claptrap, who has been in every game and just loves to annoy gamers. And so now if you really love being annoyed by him, you can play a whole 20-hour experience with him. Actually, depending on how much you do, it could go up to closer to 40 hours, but the bare minimum story is probably 20, 25 hours.
Oh, my God. Now, is there a multiplayer available in this game?
Well, much like the other Borderlands, is that there is an arena versus mode, and there's also the big thing about it is four-player co-op. You can play with your friends the whole campaign, the whole way through. You can do it locally as well, which is rare. You can, you know, they had both four-player local and online co-op. I know it's been a long time since most of us have seen split screens, but if that's still your thing, or, you know, like me, I played Borderlands 2 the whole way through with my girlfriend, and we sat next to each other, and it was a really good experience. I think that this, so you have both co-op and versus in this that are returning, and much like we've seen in the first two games.
Okay, let's move on to Assassin's Creed Rogue. Now, Assassin's Creed's been around for a while, and I wanted to know from you, Ray, is this the last title for the last generation consoles?
I would be genuinely shocked if they made another Assassin's Creed for Xbox 360 and PS3 next year. This really feels, in a lot of ways, because it takes the best out from... I was able to play a little bit of it last week, and I was able to preview it for EGM, and it feels like it takes the best of Assassin's Creed 3 and the best of Assassin's Creed 4 and puts them together in what is really a swan song for the Xbox 360 PS3 generation, especially with Assassin's Creed. And especially from what I played with Unity and from talking to the folks at Ubisoft Montreal, they really seem to be focused now on next gen. That's really where their focus is now, and that's really probably where I would be very shocked if they did anything anymore with last gen after this effort.
And there you have it. So that means you better get out and get the Xbox One or PS4. We were talking to Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Make sure you go to EGMnow.com, too. Ray has a cool article about Fantasia Music Evolved. Make sure you check that out. And check out EGMnow.com for any other gaming news that you may, you know, want to know about. We got the PlayStation TV, get it if you want it. Bayonetta 2, Assassin's Creed Rogue, but like I said, get the PS4, Xbox One if you don't have it already. And Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Ray, as always, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Sean.
And we'll be back right after this.